And each of the sessions that I take as I walk through This Is the Word will have a title for itself. So for example, this morning I begin This Is the Word, but for this morning itself, I'm speaking about the incorruptible seed. And I don't know how long this will take, but I do expect that I'll do this until we begin to prepare for the convention that comes in the first week of April. So, of course, this will take us into March. And sometime a few weeks before the convention, I'll begin to get us ready for the convention itself. But this morning, this is the word. Hebrews 11, let's begin in verse 3. Hebrews 11, if you have your Bibles, I'd like everybody to open their Bibles. I'd like us to read together. Hebrews 11. If you found Hebrews, say with me, this is the word. Hallelujah. It says, through faith, we understand. And I pray that everybody will come to understand something freshly in these meetings in the name of Jesus. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. And they were framed by the word of God. When the writers of this verse here, I believe it was Paul the Apostle, when he wrote this, there was not yet any understanding at all of our galaxy. People did not yet understand about Saturn, about all of the other planets that we have. But Paul was already speaking about that. So when he said he had the worlds, there is our world that we know, our own planet that we know. He said, but I know that all of what exists, he said, all of them were framed. They were put in place. They were created, if you like, by the word of God. He said, so that, still in verse 3, the things which we see, everything that we see, it says they were not made of things. The King James puts it in a way that may not come out clearly to us. It said they were not made of things which do appear. Actually, that is saying that the things we see, originally, they were not made out of something that you can see. If I say I'm the one that made this beautiful pulpit, I'm the sculptor that put it together, and I stand here to you and I say to you that I created that, that would be a lie. The reason it would be a lie is because when I began to put it together, I had something that I could see. I had some glass, I had some wood that I could see, that I used to put it together. It looks different when I finished, but when I started with something that I could see. And that's the reason why I'm not a creator. God alone is a creator. Because in everything that you see, every physical thing, you can trace them back and trace them back and trace them back. You made this from that. You made this from that. You made this from that. And then at the end of the day, we get to the point where God made everything. And the Bible says in that verse that we see this morning, the Bible says God made the things that we see. Listen closely. He made it out of something that we do not see. Are you getting understanding this morning? Can I ask a question here, and I'm sure everybody can already answer. What was that thing that we do not see that God used to make everything? Talk to me, people. His word. Look at the beginning of that verse. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds, everything from the atomic levels of things, It says they were framed. Framed by what, people? I want everybody to shout it out loud to me this morning. Framed by what, people? Let's do one more time. Framed by what, everybody? Everything was framed. The root of where it all started. So I wrote in my note, and I wanted to, if you're taking notes, and I just want everybody to be taking notes, is that God is the only creator who made everything from what you cannot see. And that thing that you cannot see, that God used to create, that's what I'm talking about this morning. You want to look at your neighbor for me one more time and say, this is the word. Because, you know, when we read like these verses that we see this morning, we think about, okay, that's the word that God used to create the whole world. God came and said, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. God came and said, light be, and light was. So we think about it in that way, but I want to sort of bring us in this couple of weeks to make us see that that same word is what you and I have this morning. What God did was this. He took that same word and he gave it to you, he gave it to me. And it never occurred to me until recently. I used to think, like most of us, that the purpose of words is communication. I'm not sure it's everybody that can understand what I'm talking about here, but I'll truck on anyway. I used to think that the purpose of words was communication. But communication is not the primary purpose of words. The transference of creative power is the primary purpose of words. Because the worlds that we see, Bible says God framed them by his word. God now gave us that same word. And I'm asking myself, why would God give us the same word if it is not that we can continue the same purpose? If I lost you there, I'll get you back. God gave us the same word to continue creating with it. Find somebody else this morning and say to them, this is the word. And over the next couple of weeks, I want to sort of bring us to a place where, one, we see that this is that same word, but we begin to understand that that word is not far from us. We carry Bibles around in all kinds of formats and all kinds of versions and translations, multiple translations all over the world today and all that. But the more there is a multiplication of the written word, there seems to be less and less of a revelation of the effective word in the lives of Christians. And I want to sort of bring us in these weeks to a place where we begin to take this same word and do with it what God intended to be done with it. Are you ready on this journey with me this morning? So this morning, I want to look at the incorruptible nature of that word. And if you're born again, you gave your life to Jesus. The truth really is that you became born again because of that same word. That's how you got saved. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me take my text for this morning from there. But really, you can only come along if you already understood the foundation that I tried to lay the last couple of minutes. That you say, this whole thing, everything, the chair you're sitting on, everything, at the lowest level of it, the maker of it was something we can't see, which is the word of God. And that same word is the same word that I'm preaching at you this morning. 1 Peter 1. Let's take it from, I'll read three verses quickly from there. And just in reading these three verses, the whole concept of what I'm talking about as I introduce to you, this is the word, becomes clear to you that this word that we're talking about is incorruptible. That's why I can say to you confidently, it was the same word that God so spoke 6,000 years ago. It is still the same word this morning. You know that they say that, how many of you still have your wedding cakes? How many people still have pieces of your wedding cake? I remember when I was young, they used to say that if you go to a wedding and then they will put alcohol in the cake. Isn't it? Some of you are looking at me like, that's what they used to do. They put alcohol in the cake. That's why people misbehave at the weddings. So,
So, but the reason they said they put alcohol in the cake is that the couple can still be eating pieces of their wedding cake at their 10th anniversary and 20th. And actually, next couple of weeks is my 20th wedding anniversary. Do we have copies of the cake? Copies or pieces? Copies of the cake? Was there even a cake? There was a cake. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, before you start thinking of wedding and all that, let's get back to God's word. Chapter 1 from verse 23. It'll be 20 years that I've been married just in a couple of weeks. 20 years. 20 years. So I'm just going to escape and go away. We're just going to go away. We're just going to go away. So I'll start this series, and then I'll do it for some time, and then I'll leave it and just go away. And then you will come and you will not see me. In the past, you are sure I'm coming back? It depends on how you behave this morning that will determine if I'm coming back or not. Verse 23. I'm talking to born again people. It says, being born again, it says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Then he goes on to say, talking about your being born again. You thought you became born again because somebody took you to a meeting, because there was an anointing in the meeting, or because of something. He said you became born again by the word of God. He says, and then he begins to describe that word. And that's what I came to do this morning. He says that word which liveth. Somebody say liveth. He says it lives and abides forever. Come on. It says that word by which you became born again, if Jesus tarries, is the same word by which your children will become born again. It's the same word by which your grandchildren will become born again, by which your great-grandchildren will come to know the Lord. It says that word lives and abides forever. It says in verse 24, it says when we come to the natural, it says all flesh, everything that is natural is like grass. And all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. You know, things that we value so much. We say, oh, my beautiful this, my beautiful house, my beautiful car, my beautiful that, my beautiful that. He said all of them, he says that like the flower of the grass. He says the grass will wither, the flower thereof will fall away. But, come on. He says, but the word of the Lord, my friends, endureth for how long? Come on, talk to me. People endure it for how long? It says the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word. Come on. Which by the gospel is preached to you. So I'm saying the same word that God stood and said, light be. It is still the same word that I stand here this morning preaching to you. The word of the Lord is incorruptible. Let me say three things quickly before I actually get into my message. When I think of incorruptible, what is incorruptible? Number one, I think of incorruptible as something that is non-changing. It is non-changing. Talking about God himself, James 1 and in verse 17, the Bible says every good and every perfect gift is from above. It says it comes down from the Father of light with whom there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning. There is no variableness. There is no changing with him. You know, all of us change. Everybody here, we all change. A few years ago, when this church started, I was a very fine young man. Oh, Jerry, thank you. But we all change. I see pictures of myself and I said, me? Was this me? I mean, on my wedding day, I actually literally carried my wife. I have a picture of it. Carry for where? You see, that's not spiritual. You have to do spiritual things. With a lot of hair on my head, I used to have hair cut. I used to, oh God. But we change, don't we? But when we think about, I want us to think this morning about, when you think about the whole concept of change, bring it face to face with God's word and it melts. This word is non-changing. I'll get to something this morning. When I speak about incorruptible word of God this morning, I'm talking about something that does not depreciate in intent or in power. It does not depreciate in its intent. It does not depreciate in its power. No matter how long time has gone. Psalm 89 and in verse 34, God was speaking. He says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter. That's what I'm talking about. That I will not alter. It's not alterable. Anything that is gone out of my lips. Actually, I find that it is because we've never really known the word that we carry. That's why the devil messes with us. He says, this thing that I have spoken to you, God said, it's not alterable. He says, I will not alter anything that has come out of my mouth. I said, it is not changing. It is not. It does not depreciate in intent. It does not depreciate in power. It is not time bound. When we say something is incorruptible, it is not time bound. It's forever. Forever. And so if I'm going to really get us this morning to this place where when we speak about God's word, we know we're talking about the power that created the world, that he has given to every one of us, that we have, that is not just for the pastor. We're speaking about the power that is incorruptible. As I began to read the Bible, I find that there are about three different illustrations that particularly the New Testament, uses to sort of bring the incorruptible nature of God's word to us. Because if I'm going to get you to understand how incorruptible this is, sometimes English language and words can't explain it. So even Jesus in the scriptures uses illustrations to show you how very immovable the word of God is. And I want to go and look at those three illustrations in scriptures today that help you to see how very stable and dependable the word of God is. Are you with me still? Very good. We'll look at these three. When we finish looking at these three, every attempt of the devil in your life to make you doubt anything God ever said about you will diminish in the name of Jesus. The first one of them is this: illustrations that show us the incorruptible nature of God's word in scriptures. The first one of them is this. I'll sort of summarize it this way. Heaven and earth, they are fixed entities, but they don't compare to the stability of God's word. You know, when we think about things that are fixed, let's begin to think this morning. This glass here, this flower vase here, Mrs. Essien is already shaking where she is thinking I'm going to break it. But it's a little bit fixed, but it doesn't take me a lot to keep it. And then it's not really. Then if I look at this pulpit, it's a little bit more fixed than this, isn't it? So we're talking about different things in this world have different levels of stability. Is there anybody here who has ever tried to move this table here? Any of you has ever tried to come and touch this? If you've ever tried it, then you will understand how people build things in 1952. This is not from IKEA. Okay? This, when we came here, they said to us, actually, if you don't like it, every Sunday you can move it away and put it back. And we said, that's really nice. So we came and we said, it's nice. Just leave it there. So there are different levels of stability and different level, different degrees of it. But when you begin to think about it, the earth itself is the ultimate of immovable, isn't it? I mean, people have drilled and tried to reach the crust of the earth, and they've never been able to reach the crust of the thing. Winds are blowing. Like last Monday, I was trying to fly out of Berlin early in the morning, and there was that very windy morning. Everybody remembers that. It was very windy, and they put us on the plane, and we taxied on the runway, and then at some point, they said, you're not going to take off. And we were sitting there in the plane, and I fell asleep. 1 hour later, I woke up, and we were still in Berlin Schönefeld. I woke up thinking I arrived where I'm going. Then I looked outside. I'm still in Deutschland. They said, this plane is big, but it can't withstand the level of wind that is out there. Is everybody still with me this morning? So there are different levels of stability. Some things are shaky, something. But when we think of something is stable, we think of the earth itself. That's big. The Bible now says that the earth will be moved out of its place before the word of God will be moved out of its place. It's trying to, God is trying to create an illustration in our mind. Let's go there. Matthew 24. I read in verse 35. Then Matthew 5, verse 18. I'm trying to teach something this morning, so I'm not in a hurry. I'm not trying to excite you. I want you to get revelation in your spirit of the incorruptible nature of God's word. So when you take a scripture and you say, I believe God, I stand on this scripture, and you pray on it, you've done something powerful, my friend. And you don't let anything begin to shake you around. This is incorruptible. Matthew 24, look at Jesus speaking. Matthew 24 and in verse 35. When we begin to get these things, the Christian experience itself becomes something else. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 35, he says, heaven and earth will pass away. Even as sturdy as they are, something will come and move them. He said, but my words shall never pass away. He's trying to compare. I thought I'll get a good amen to that. Look at chapter 5. Still the same Matthew. Matthew 5, I think in verse 18. In verse 18. We're working on something this morning. Looking through scriptures. What does the Bible compare the word of God to when we think about the stability and the dependability and the incorruptible nature of God's word? Matthew 5, verse 18. It says, for verily I say unto you, Jesus still talking. It says, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. This word, he said, is never void of power of fulfillment. He says, the most stable thing, I want you to do something this morning. Think of anything you consider stable, things that you consider dependable, that will always be there. No matter how dependable you might consider them, they don't compare to the incorruptible nature of God's word. You know how God himself was thinking about his word? Psalm 138 verse 2. That comes to my mind right now. Psalm 138 verse 2. Bible says God has exalted his word above what? Above his names. You know, people pride themselves in knowing the names of God. And say, we can bring somebody here that will really excite us and say, Jehovah this, Jehovah that, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. Can I say to you this morning, it pays you better to know his word than to know his names. Because he said, I've exalted my word. Oh, I'd rather know his name. I want to know what he said much more than what they called him. I'm talking to somebody, talking to some people this morning. Let me move on. The first illustration we find in scriptures about the incorruptible nature of God's word is you compare it to heaven and earth itself, and it's more stable than those. Number two, I'll summarize it also this way, then I'll go and read a few scriptures. Though, if you're writing notes, write this down. Though unseen and unheard, the word of God is surer than what you see and what you hear. I'm not just going to say that. I'll prove that to us in scriptures. Even though it's unseen, and you may not even have heard it, and you can't touch it, the word of God is surer than what you see and what you hear. It's surer. If what I hear and what I see and what I touch is in line with God's word, then it can be sustained, that what I hear. But if what I hear and what I see and what I touch and what report they bring me does not line up with God's word, one of them has to move out of the way. And the one that will move out of the way is the one that is less stable. Second Peter, let's go there, chapter 1. Second Peter, chapter 1. Let's take it from verse 16. I'll just run it through the screen. Second Peter 1 from verse 16. I'm saying to you that even though you can't see it, even though you can't touch it, because somebody say, of course, I can touch it. When you touch your Bible or you touch your iPad, doesn't mean you are touching the word of God. Even though you can't see it and you can't touch it, the word of God is surer than what you see and what you hear. So let's do something this morning here from verse 16. Everybody there? 2 Peter. It says, for we have not followed, Peter was talking. He was trying to remember He was trying to remember when they went to the cross, to the mountain with Jesus, and he was transfigured in front of them. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but we were what? Talk to me, everybody. We were what? What else? Who is an choose anyone you like. Who is an eyewitness? Somebody who witnesses something with their eyes. So, somebody stole and you were there. You are an... Okay? He says, when we came, I wanted to understand what Peter is talking about. He said, when we came and told you people about the majesty of Jesus, he said, we were not just telling fables. He said, we were actually eyewitnesses. So, in my Bible, I've done something that I want to do in your Bible as well. I marked in verse 16 the word eyewitnesses. Marked it out, highlighted it, because he saw something physically. It was there. So in verse 17, it described what he saw. Go to verse 17. He said, what we saw was that Jesus received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came a voice to him, that voice came from the excellent glory. What was Peter eyewitness to? He said, we were there when there was a voice that came. And the voice said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. How many of you would have loved to be there on that day on the mountain? I would have loved to be there. When we're standing there, three of us standing with Jesus, and a voice, a literal audible voice comes. And that voice says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So Peter said, I was the eyewitness to that. Verse 18. It says, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard it. Remember I'm saying the things you hear. They heard God spoke to them audibly. They heard it from heaven. It says, we were there, physically there on the mountain with Jesus. We were eyewitnesses of it. We saw it. Then get to verse 19. And you understand what I'm talking about this morning. He said, we have also. I marked in verse 16 the word eyewitnesses. In this verse 19, I marked the word also. So there are two things now. He said, there was something to which I was an eyewitness. I saw it. There was something else also. There was another thing. Amen. Amen. Am I still talking to the church this morning? So the first thing is what I saw physically. But then he said, there is also, let's do something, skip the first things, there is also a word of prophecy. So now I have two things. I have what I saw with my eyes. I stood on the mountain, I heard a voice, I saw it myself. Also, apart from that which I was eyewitness to, we also have a word of prophecy. I took both of them and I compared them. And one of them was more sure than the other one. Is somebody understanding me this morning? He said, we have also a more sure word of... I don't know if you understand what Peter is doing here. He said, I believe this more than what I saw with my eyes. Somebody say, Pastor, you only say that because you've not seen how difficult it is. You've not seen how it really looks. I don't need to see how it looks. We have what we are eyewitnesses of. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. And every day of your life, ask yourself, which one is more sure? That's what we're talking about this morning. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He now gave a word of advice. He said, I, Peter, I have seen both of them. I encourage you. Unto this word of prophecy, you will do very well to take heed unto it. I'll come back to that in a couple of weeks. He says, you take it unto it, it will be a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arises in your heart. If you understand what I'm teaching here this morning, then you'll understand what the Bible means in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, when the Bible says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Can I repeat the point there? Though unseen and unheard, The word of God is surer than what you see and what you hear. You know, what I'm talking about here is something that there's no natural way to teach this. How can I tell you not to believe what you see? That is why the word of faith is a spiritual thing. It's from inside that I come to a point where if what I see lines up with God's word, then it can stay. But if that other thing that I am actually, I know exactly how much money I have in my bank account. I can see that it is in the negative. How many times have you maybe tried to give money to somebody? You say, okay, I'm going to send 100 euros to your account. And they say, actually, don't send it to my account. I say, I didn't understand it for a long time. Say, why? Because if you send it there, it disappears. I say, how can money disappear? It can disappear because there's already a dungeon in the place. So somebody says, Pastor, I know exactly what is there. I know what I can see. But I'm saying to you this morning, what you can see there is what you are an eyewitness to. And what I say in the word is a more sure word than that. And the Bible says, all my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Which one is a more sure word, my friends? Now, let's begin to get into this. How do I know right now? What I want to teach here, I want you to understand this in a couple of minutes. How do I know that I'm healed? Somebody says, because I don't feel any pain in my body right now. So stand before you. I don't feel any pain in my body, so that tells me I'm healed. You lie. Because that's temporary. You could step out of that door right now and feel a pain on your back. The reason I know I am healed is not because of the absence of pain in my body. It's because the more sure word says, by stripes I am healed. I may have a bank account that is swelling and overflowing. The reason I know I am prosperous is not because of the bank account. How many people have had a swelling bank account before? And then sometimes some things happened and suddenly it is gone. Have you been there before? Of course. Actually, the Bible says money has wings and it can fly away. So you understand very well that the confidence we have is not in what we see. The reason I'm confident that my children will turn out right is not because they are behaving right now. It's because the Bible says, great shall be your seed. Are you understanding what I'm talking about this morning? The confidence of our lives, either positive or negative, is not in what we see. It's in the more sure word. Every time your experience of life challenges you, go back there and say, I see, I'm an eyewitness to this, but there is a more sure word. Let's actually go read the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 18. That scripture teaches me that whatever I can see is temporal. If I can see it, either it's good or bad, it's temporal. I used to understand that scripture only in bad things. I say, any bad thing I can see is temporal, even good things. Good or bad, if I can physically see it, it's temporal. So the only sustenance of it, my friends, is the more sure word behind it. Let's go and read it. I think it's good that we'll put our eyes on that. 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 18. Is everybody still in church this morning? I like to check in again and again to be sure that you haven't gone home. You haven't gone home, that your mind has not gone to something somewhere else. I had a prayer meeting to do last night at about 7 o'clock. And right about 6:30, 6:40, dinner was ready. So I said to my daughter, I said, if I sit and eat this now, I will have to rush through it. But if I go to the prayer meeting, I'll be thinking of this thing. So I said, which one should I do? Let's have a chat here. Which one should I do? And she said to me, she said, actually, during the fasting, in January, there was one day we went to church. And before we went to church, mommy cooked jollof rice. And then we came to church for the fasting. And as we were praying in the church, she said my mind was thinking about the jollof rice at home. So she gave me, her counsel to me was, I will advise you not to go to your prayer, to deal with this one first. But this morning, I want to... How did I even get into that now? I don't even remember anymore. That's okay. Forget about jollof rice and all that right now. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. If you are serving Jesus and you are not enjoying your life, you are doing it wrong, my friend. Enjoy your life. As I'm standing here, I'm enjoying my life. Somebody's looking at me and say, hey, be serious. You preach the word. I'm preaching the word. In jollof rice, that might be a blessing to somebody. Okay. Verse 18. Let's be serious. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Now, the Bible is something else. It says, but we look at the things that are not. How can you tell me to look at what I can't see? But you know one thing? If you've been with me since we started today, what was our first scripture we read this morning? Hebrews 11:3. It says, the things we see are created by what we can't see. And we all agreed what we can't see was what? The word. Keep that at the back of your mind and then come to 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18. And the Bible now tells you to start looking at what you can't see. What is it asking you to look at? Look at the word. So let's read this again. It says, while we look not at the things which we have seen. It's like Peter said, I'm an eyewitness to it. The Bible is saying, that's not what we're looking at. He said, we look at the things which are not seen. The authority of the incorruptible word of God on any subject matter in the world, on any issue going on in your life right now, or in the past, or in the future, you look at what you cannot see. He says, for the things that you can see, they are what? They are temporal. They are not permanent. They are shifting. They are corruptible. He says, but the things which we cannot see, they are the ones that are eternal. Like I was saying, how do I know that I'm the healed of the Lord? If I look at what I see, what I feel right now, I say, I feel good. There's no pain in my body. So I'm the healed of the Lord. No. That's temporal. I can see it. I can feel it. It's temporal. But the one that I cannot touch is what the Bible says, by his stripes, I am healed. My God, that's eternal. If at any point in time, the temporal feeling wants to change, the eternal, more sure word challenges it and says, no. My friends, this is the Christian life. What are we talking about? Though unseen and unheard, the word of God is surer than what you see and what you hear. If you understand that, can you give me an amen? Amen. Number three, and this is where I begin to close. Talking about the incorruptible word. I want you to get a revelation of that incorruptible word. And you put it always in front of you. Number three, the passage of time makes no dent in the stability of God's word. The passage of time makes no dent in the stability of God's word. Psalm 119 verse 89, we know very well. Opens that verse and says, forever. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Your word is a pillar. Your word is in its final and best state, secured forever. I love that. Forever. Somebody say, Pastor, it was 2 years ago when I had a word and I believed God, and 2 years have passed since then. I said, forever. If any time you ever come to a place where you begin to say, oh, it's taking so long. How long is the durability of this word? Forever. I want you to hear that in your spirit. The Lord brought this back to my mind yesterday. And I actually went back and did a little bit of eschatology myself to look at the timings of things. Genesis 3 and in verse 15. Genesis 3 verse 15 is where God spoke. I'm not going to go back to read it. God spoke to Adam was there, Eve was there, Satan was there. And God said effectively to Satan, there's going to be a seed of the woman. And that seed of the woman is going to come. You will bruise his heel and then he will bruise your head. That was a word of God. And we're talking about the word of God this morning, that it's incorruptible. So he spoke it there. So I went to look and said, when was that? When was the time? That Genesis 3 verse 15, when was that? Roughly speaking, that happened about 4,000 BC. So that was about 4,000 years before Jesus was born, is when God came and God spoke. And then 2,000 years went past, and all kinds of things happened. And the devil was running rampant all over the place. Even though God's word said there's going to be a seed, that seed of God is going to bruise your head. He kept on running all over the place. 2,000 years went by, and there was a man called Abraham, and came, and he had a son called Isaac. And God came again, and God came to ask for his son. And that was going to be a type. Isaac was a type of the seed that will come. And so Abraham took Isaac, and he almost killed him, and all that. And he said, okay, we've set the door. I mean, 2,000 years have passed. Now there is a little thing. Okay, we still don't have him. After that, another almost 1,000 years passed, about 700 BC, there came a prophet called Isaiah. Isaiah came, and the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to him, and Isaiah said, a virgin will be with child. Oh, this word was spoken. By the time Isaiah was prophesying, it was spoken almost 3,000 years ago. And then there came, somewhere around 5 BC, an angel of the Lord came to Mary one day and said, you are highly favored of the Lord, and you will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And I'm asking myself, all through 4,000 years, my friends, the passage of time makes no dent in the stability of God's word. If he ever said it, he will do it. As I began to think about this, it got to my mind. And the Lord said this to me. He said it to me, but I believe it will bless somebody. He said, many things have happened, but what was the last thing I said to you? Since the last time I spoke to you on the subject matter, a lot of things have happened. Not all of them have looked like lining up with it, but all I'm asking you is this, what was the last thing I said to you? Since the last time I spoke to you, And I said, this was the last thing you spoke to me. God said, that's where, if you ask me, if you look for me, that's where you still find me. And I'll advise you that when I look for you, that's where I still find you. Amen. The passage of time, in that period, somebody says, the Lord spoke to me about my professional life. The Lord gave me a word about my ministry. The Lord gave me a word about this, and that was 10 years ago, and things have happened, and I look at myself right now, and I don't look like that. And the Lord is saying, many things have happened, but what was the last thing I said to you? If you notice something about God is this, he doesn't come, say this today, and then come tomorrow, and come and repeat it again. He just said it one time, and said one time is enough. Because the passage of time does not put any dent in the stability of God's word. Did you understand what I'm saying this morning? My friends, this is the word. This is the word that I must preach to you. Everywhere that you go, if you ever walk away from Berlin or something takes you away and you move to another city and you find yourself another church somewhere, find yourself a place where this is the word that is being preached. It can't be another one. It must be this same word. This must be the word that you, every one of us, are asking for when you come to church. You know that without talking, church members demand something of the pastor. If I come on a Sunday and I preach about something and everybody is frowning, then I come next Sunday and I begin to tell you God loves you and everybody is happy, then every day I'm telling you God loves you. You are making a demand. But this is the word that you must demand, my friends. Am I talking to somebody still this morning? This is the word that you must live by. It is the same word that he spoke. Light be and light was. It is still the same word. It's the word that you must live by. There are many people that have been Christians. Some of them have been Christians for 20 years, 30 years. But they don't live by this word. And you can see it in their lives. But I came to call everybody this morning. In 2020, we live by this word. This is the word, my friends. There is no other word anywhere. This is the word you must put in your mouth. This is the word that if I find you anywhere, I'm asking you, replace your word by this word. This is the word. If something happens to you and the world and this life challenges you, my friends, this is the word that must come out of your mouth. But the truth is this, and we'll get into this in the coming weeks. If it's not in your heart, it's difficult for it to come out of your mouth. But if I go to God today, this is the word he will speak. And so I said to myself, there's no point wasting time. I know what he's going to tell me, so I better begin to say that before I even come to him. This is the word that we must pray. Christians pray all kinds of prayers. I hear all kinds of prayers. Prayers, emotional prayers, all kinds of prayers. But this is the word we must pray. This is the word. You know what the Bible says? Jeremiah 1 and verse 12, and I'll close there this morning. And I'm going to ask everybody to speak a word over their lives. You speak the word of God. Any scripture you know, just open it and speak it over your life. It's powerful. 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 Hebrews 4 verse 12, speaking about the word of God, is that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. We've not really understood the power of God's word. It's creative in impact. Jeremiah 1 verse 12, everybody go there. Let's go there. Let me close there. I'll close my Bible and I will not open it again so that I'll close. And then we can pray. Jeremiah 1 and in verse 12. We know the scripture very well. Bible says Jeremiah was speaking and he had just said something to God. Then God said unto me, thou hast well said, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. That's the King James Bible. And for many years, I didn't understand this scripture because the King James called it hasten. The word hasten there actually means to watch over. Do you have any other translation? The NIV or something? No other translation? Jesus Christ, in 2020. The Stone Church Technical Department. All right, so the word hasten there, anybody that has any other translation this morning will notice that only the King James calls this hasten. It says, I will watch over it. The sense there is like, how many people grew up in the village where there are, you know, chicken does not grow on the tree. Chicken actually run around as chicken. So when the mother hen has the little chicken, it protects them, watches over them. Have you seen that before? That's what the Bible is talking about here. That word hasten. I don't know why they put that at hasten in the King James Bible. It's the word is God said, I will watch over my word to perform it. When I began to see that, I now understand when we pray, God is not watching over your prayer. God is watching over his word. Have you ever had a child who doesn't like something in particular? Or maybe you have a child who likes, let's say you have a child who likes cucumber. And you give them a mix of salad. And that child goes into that salad and is looking for the cucumber. And he picks out the three pieces of cucumber and says, I've finished. That's God. You do all your shouting. You do everything. And God comes and says, can I find my word? Are you with me this morning? If I can find my word there, I'll make sure I perform it. Come on, rise on your feet this morning and begin to give him his word to perform. Rise on your feet and begin to speak to God in your life and begin to give him his word. Give him his word to perform in your life. Speak over every area of your life. Let's just spend a couple of minutes and just do that this morning. This is the word. This is the word. My friends, this is the word. Thank you, my God. This is the word. Everybody begin to speak to current things, things in the future. Begin to open your mouth and take away every other thing right now and give him something to watch over, something to walk with, something to walk with. Resa pasa kata baria la la bashata. Levra kaso tolombre de de karanda la hati kateke. Resa katamba la hadi katende lekelia. Can I get a keyboardist here? Like a deca santa la bracalica, manina nozo vregede sacalambra galica doseke, bella casecaleke. Everybody pray. Close your eyes now and just speak to them. Speak to those things. Find a word, just any scripture that you know, and say, God, this is your word. I speak it over my life. I speak over my health. I speak over my healing. I speak over my body. I speak over every part of me this morning. I speak over my children. I speak over my family. Everybody, please do that right now. Do that right now. If you are struggling with something, there may be people struggling with something, struggling with sin, struggling with whatever in your life, speak to that sin that so easily engulfed you and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, begin to do that this morning. Begin to put God God's word to it. If we put God's word to it, we see God walking. We don't have to beg God. If he can find his word, he can always walk among us. I want everybody to do that this morning. Everybody do that this morning. You can't do that this morning. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. In the name of Jesus. Sin shall not have dominion over you. In the name of Jesus. If there are people with needs, financial needs, material needs, the Bible says God will supply all your need. The Bible says that God will supply all your need according to his riches. That's what the Bible says, my friends. Begin to do that this morning. If you are weak, spiritually speaking, you are spiritually weak this morning, begin to speak to God and say, Father, I'm renewed with the Spirit of God in my inner man. I'm renewed in my inner man with the fullness of God in the name of Jesus. I'm strong in the Lord. Come on, close your eyes. I don't want you to be distracted. Begin to speak the word of God over your life. Every challenge of your life right now, speak the word of God over them. You have children, speak the word of God over them. You have a job that is not going like it should go, speak the word of God over it. You have a business endeavor that is not going like it should go, speak the word of God over it, my friends. You have a calling, you don't know what you want to do with your life, speak the word of God and say, God, I'm a sheep of God. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and so I hear your voice. Speak it right now. Speak it right now. If there is trouble in your marriage, speak to it this morning. Speak to it this morning. Let's behave like children of God who know the word of our Father. This is the incorruptible word of God. If there is sickness in the body, any kind of sickness in the body, speak to it this morning. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. There is a balm in Gilead. That's what the Bible says. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead that is healing the daughters of my people in the name of Jesus. Why? The Bible says, is the health of the daughters of my people not increased? It says the Son of Righteousness is arising with wings, with healing in his wings this morning. Come on, speak it in the name of Jesus. Speak it in the name of Jesus. You have been on the same level in whatever way, spiritually speaking, financially speaking, emotionally speaking, you've been on the same level for a long time. Begin to speak this morning. That the Bible says the path of the righteous, it shines brighter. It shines brighter in the name of Jesus. My path is shining brighter. Everybody, give him something to walk with. Give him something to walk with. Everybody, close your eyes and talk to God. Close your eyes and talk to God. Close your eyes and talk to God. I believe that this morning. I believe that this morning. I believe it this morning. Every situation that has stood there and just challenged you, raise them before God this morning. Raise them before God and call them finished. God gave us his word so that we can begin to do what he does with his word. Release power with his word. Release power. Release power. Release power into your financial life. Release power into your spiritual life. Release power into your home. Release power into your ministry. Release power into your destiny. Let me pray this morning with people that may be struggling with sin in their lives. Thank you, my God. That's right. This is real. This is not just for us to preach and feel good about it. This is real. Everyone that is struggling with sin in their lives, I want to join hands with you this morning. Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of Man was created, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not sin, because the seed of God is in you. Sin shall not. I'm declaring God's word over it. I'm creating right now. Sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Sin shall not have dominion. I want everybody that is struggling with some sin of any kind right now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, just inside you, raise your hand inside, not physically, raise your hand inside and say, Father, I bring myself under this prayer. Please don't do it if you don't mean it, but if you mean it and you want to break the power of that which has held you, if you do that this morning, for sure that power is broken over your life. So if there is sin that has held you, I want to pray with you this morning. Raise your hand inside your heart. As Father, Lord, you see what I can't see. The hearts of men, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl in this house this morning that is crying for deliverance. But the Bible is clear. Your word, this same word that you spoke, that we have been born of an incorruptible seed, and sin shall never again have dominion. That whosoever is born of you does not sin, because they are born of God, and the seed of God grows in them. So this man and this woman, right now, I create freedom for them by virtue of your spoken word. That hold of iniquity upon their lives is broken now in the name of Jesus. Okay? I declare in the name of Jesus, newness of life. Come on. That comes from inside your spirit. Newness of life. And I call you free from this moment in the name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. That's right. Somebody just got free right there. Somebody just got free. Everybody, let's rejoice with them. Give your thanks. Lift up your hands and just worship the Lord together. Somebody just got free right there, right there, right now, by the power of God's word.